Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Stu Whitney, who spent 3 decades with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader covering the all things around South Dakota and the Midwest. He was a columnist, a writer, an editor, all kinds of roles that you serve in as a newspaper. But he's out with his first novel. This one is called The COVID Chronicles, and it is available on Amazon. It's available at stuwhitney.com. That's stuwhitney.com. And I welcome Stu into the program. Stu, a lot of newspaper writers, once they're done covering things that they have to cover for their jobs, they go on and write things that they want to write and put out a novel. You've done just that. How long has this novel been festering in that mind of yours?
Well, I definitely had festering in my mind that I wanted to undertake a writing project. I initially had thought about doing a nonfiction book, which would dovetail with my journalistic experience a little more closely. I took a buyout from the Argus Leader, so I sort of felt like I had a finite amount of time in which to sort of undertake this project. And, you know, as you know, a nonfiction undertaking involves quite a bit of research and would have eaten into that time quite a bit before I even sat down to start writing. So, you know, I think it's the ultimate writing challenge and dream for any serious writer to write a novel. And I sort of said, well, I'm just gonna tackle this challenge in art form, and I wanted to do it. I'm not one of those who tries to create another world. I've never been into fantasy novels, not to besmirch fantasy novels at all, but it's just not my thing. I like novels about real life and about real people and real challenges that human beings face. And the most obvious and daunting challenge that people have faced and are still facing is the pandemic. And in South Dakota here, South Dakota has been in the national spotlight for a lot of things that occurred here during the pandemic, politically and otherwise. And so to challenge that, to tackle that topic in novel form, I had a lot of things to say from my time at the newspaper. I had some things to say about the newspaper industry. And so I came up with kind of a fictional memoir type template to use to tell this story. And using dramatic license, poetic license, inserted a little bit of a thriller motif into it as well, just to kind of move the story along. But I was able to fit in a lot of things I wanted to say within that motif.
Well, there's an old adage about writing, and it's write what you know. And you've clearly done that because your main character is a newspaper reporter for a Sioux Falls newspaper. But I've always thought the danger in that is you assume the reader knows something that you just take for granted, the fact that you know. So how do you straddle that line when you're writing a fictional character of a position you know so well, but those of us not in the newspaper industry don't know all the ins and outs?
Well, I was able to fit in some. I wanted to provide an insight. I mean, you wanted to use that to an advantage, so to speak, some of your experience and knowledge about the industry to take readers into place they might not otherwise have been. So I wanted to use some of the jargon, some of the experience from, you know, nearly 3 decades in the industry, but I didn't want it to be so insidery, to coin a term, that I would lose people. And I didn't want to be using inside journalism terms or jargon too much where it would sort of lose its effect. So I think you saw some of that, you know. When I talk about some of the circulation issues, when I talk about moving journalism into the internet realm, the use of social media, even some of the stuff about breaking into editorial groups and our editorial board. So there's some inside journalism stuff, but I kept it mainstream enough to move the story along. So I hope I tackled that challenge well, but I'll let the reader decide, I suppose.
Well, this character follows the main protagonist. He's covering South Dakota news in 2020 when the COVID pandemic is raging. There's the political aspects of what's going on in South Dakota between the governor, the mayor. You've got the reporter whose son's football season is threatened because of all this, as so many football seasons were. And so there's a lot going on here. But as you put it together, you give away a major plot point right early in the story, which is very risky, and I haven't seen it work this well since American Beauty, but it worked for your book. And so can you kind of explain how this book starts out and where you want it to, what, where you want the reader to know going in?
Yeah, the unnamed narrator sort of introduces himself, and we learn, you know, depending on your perspective, either the first or the second paragraph, that he is in the South Dakota Penitentiary. He has done something horrible, which he fully admits. He does not tell you what that horrible thing is, and then sort of goes into some of the background about Sioux Falls in South Dakota, and then starts talking about an interview that he had done during his previous life as a journalist with someone who was in prison for life without parole for manslaughter, and some of the decisions that that Native American inmate made and some of the connections that he makes with his own life. And so you realize that, okay, this guy made a horrible decision along the way, and there is enough discussion of the pandemic in that first chapter that you figure it maybe has something to do with that. But I took a gamble, yes, that people would not want to necessarily know everything right off the bat, and that they would stay with me during the story as I sort of weave in between present day pandemic concerns and newspaper industry concerns in South Dakota, and go back into this fictional narrator's life where he looks back upon his marriage, he looks back upon the relationship with his son, he looks back upon the relationship with his father, his parents getting divorced, and sort of gives you a backstory for maybe explain some of the poor decisions he's made. And then I think when you get to the final quarter or third of the novel, things start to spiral pretty quickly, and we learn how he got caught up in some political entanglements, and that led to what I would call his downfall. So I think I agree with you that it's somewhat risky, but I think there are parallels. You mentioned American Beauty. There's, I think, other parallels where people sort of presage horrible events, but don't tell you exactly what they are.
Well, and that's part of the fun of the thriller, is how did we get there? And that's always in the back of my mind. The idea behind this book, obviously the COVID Chronicles, it backdrops the COVID era. That's another risk you took, is that people may or may not be tired of reading about COVID by the time this book comes out. And so you got it out rather quickly, and I think that's a very good thing marketing-wise for you. But did that cross your mind as, God, people are going to be so over COVID exposed in various media forms by the time this comes out, they don't want to read about it in their novels. So how did you handle that risk in your mind?
It's funny because I know for sure that people felt that way, because several people told me that. When I told them that I was writing a novel that it dealt, I didn't really get too much into the specifics while I was writing it, but people would always ask, what's your novel about? And I would say, well, in general terms, it does involve South Dakota went through during the pandemic, and they say, oh my God, I can't read anything more about that. So that did worry me a little bit, but I mean, if we didn't write novels about important yet disturbing topics, and we wouldn't have a lot of celebrated novels would never have been written. I think I wanted to write about something that, I mean, essentially has affected every single person on the planet. It's hard to imagine a more important aspect of people's lives at this point, as much as we would like to move on. So, as I said earlier in the interview, I don't write as a means of escape for people to escape to some other land and forget their troubles. I'm kind of digging right in where we're living right now, and I thought I had some important things to say. I wanted to do it within the novel art form, and why not talk about something that is resonating so profoundly in everyone's lives? I gladly undertook that challenge.
I'm chatting with Stu Whitney about his brand new novel, The COVID Chronicles. It is available wherever books are sold, particularly on Amazon.com as well as StuWhitney.com, and that's Stu, S-T-U. Stu, something I always wondered about people who write in newspapers and then people who write novels. Some of them think about the reader as they're writing. Some of them don't. Was there ever any of that thought as you wrote not only your newspaper columns and articles, but as you wrote this novel, did you ever have the actual reader in mind, or were you always writing for yourself and hopefully the reader came along?
I think it was the latter for me. I mean, I think that's easy to say, but I think it's true that, I was known as somewhat of a controversial columnist, someone who would, you know, one of my first columns, believe it or not, as an early writer at the Artist Leader was talking about the national anthem, because I started out as a sports writer, and I was attending all these sporting events, and they were playing the national anthem, and you notice people, you know, barely paying attention, and yet it was considered, you know, just a ritual that no one even really thought about, and so I sort of wrote a column talking about has it lost its meaning and symbolism if we are just doing it out of rote and not actually sort of thinking about what it should mean, and has it lost its luster, so to speak? And in South Dakota, an extremely conservative state, has a ton of backlash on that, and it would have been much easier for me to just not write that, you know, just kind of keep it to myself. But that was never my style, and I felt like I wanted to, based on my thoughts and my research, you know, not just throw out haymakers for the sake of throwing haymakers, but to be provocative and make people think about that there are other viewpoints out there, especially in a state like South Dakota, which is basically under one-party rule by the Republican Party, and has tended to, in my opinion, sort of stifle contrary opinions. So, in writing the book, I think there was another consideration, and that was something that hit close to home. You know, my brother, even though it's a fictional memoir, it touches upon things that were close to me. And my brother texted me at one point while reading it and said, "Man, this is tough at times. You know, this is hitting pretty close to home." And you know, my wife had reservations about it, and so I actually had to tell her, it sounds callous, but I basically told her, "I'm not writing this for you. I'm writing this for the outside world, because if you're concerned every page about who am I going to offend, who's going to be upset about this, in my mind, it's not going to be a very good novel if you play it safe." And I wanted it to be kind of a big, bold experiment. I will let the reader and reviewers decide how successful that was, but I was going to throw it all out there because I'm only going to have so many shots at this thing, and that was definitely my strategy.
Did you ever have thoughts about naming the main character? Because I don't remember the last book I read where the main character was not named, and I thought it was such a cool aspect of this book.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember the book that I read that sort of made me believe that it was okay to do it that way. Because, you know, I think writers always feel like they have to name the narrator. And there are challenges to it. You know, when you do dialogue and stuff, no one can really mention the main character by name. And so there were a couple of little just sort of nuts and bolts aspects to it that I had to weave around to continue him being unnamed. But I thought it was, because people were going to speculate a little bit how much was autobiographical and how much was fictional, I knew there was going to be a little bit of a gray area there, and I think I wanted to play around with that concept a little bit by saying, okay, this person will not be named, to sort of add to the mystery of it. And once I committed to that, it just felt like that was the right way to go. And like I said, I had to sort of rearrange some things to make sure that I stayed true to that, but
There are some completely fascinating nuggets of South Dakota and of Sioux Falls history in here. And you mentioned about people wondering if some of this is autobiographical. And I'm always amazed when people do that. And does it surprise you at the depths that people go to worry about which parts of a novel are autobiographical or not? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter to me which parts are autobiographical. I was entertained by this novel. It read like a thriller. And I leave it at that. I don't care whether any of these things actually happened. Does that amaze you, people that think that way?
I think it's natural. Human instinct for people to try to unlock a puzzle, so to speak, and then people that know you or believe that they know aspects of your life are going to want to try to solve that mystery. But I think you have to have an understanding of how fiction works, because just about, and I know you do, Brian, but I mean, just about every novelist borrows things from their real life and uses it to fit the framework of whatever story they're telling. They borrow things from other people's lives. There was a magazine story that gained a lot of attention that became kind of a viral thing on Twitter not long ago. And I remember that it was later found out that the author of that piece had essentially what they called stolen the story from someone that she knew, and this person was upset. And then, you know, my thinking was, this is a fictional short story that she wrote. So that is basically a very common practice. And if you were only trying to find completely made-up elements of human life to try to write realistic fiction, which is what I was trying to do, then I don't think it's going to come off as authentic. One of the best pieces of advice I got undertaking this was you have to sound authentic, or you're going to lose the reader within 10 pages. And that's probably the primary reason that I did decide to borrow elements of my life and perhaps others and weave it into the framework of the story, is because I wanted it to sound as authentic as possible.
Well, and along those lines, the dialogue that you wrote in the book, I thought sounded genuinely authentic. As you wrote that, and when you're not quoting directly from somebody and you're coming up with the dialogue on your own, it has to sound authentic. So did you say these sentences out loud to make sure they sound like actually like people talk? Because people certainly, the things we read are different than the way people talk.
That's one thing where I think my journalistic experience helped me, because if you go back and read some of my columns, I would do what I would call fake conversations between, it was clearly satirical, but it would be maybe a conversation between President Trump and Governor Kristi Noem or Senator John Thune and, you know, whomever. And I worked at it. I mean, some people think you would just sit down and write a conversation in your first draft and you'd say, okay, here you go. But to make it sound authentic and make it sound realistic, like what you were saying, takes quite a bit of work and several drafts. So I remember from those columns, and I will brag a little bit on myself by saying I think I'm pretty good at writing dialogue, and I was excited about that element of the novel. But there was some when I went back and read some of the chapters, I'm like, yeah, this does sound a little stodgy, a little unrealistic. And so I went back and wrote some of those aspects of it, but I completely agree with you, Brian. I've read some stuff where the characters sound stale, the conversation sounds stilted, and it really stops you as a reader. So I was determined to try to get that right, and I hope that I did.
Well, I tell you what, this book flowed, and I told you this before the interview. I sat down, was not planning on reading the book at the particular time I did, but I read the first chapter, and, you know, a couple hours later, I was done with the entire book. I just couldn't put it down, and I loved it. The book is called The COVID Chronicles. It's the brand new novel from Stu Whitney. It is available at stuwhitney.com. That's stuwhitney.com. It's also available at Amazon and other booksellers. Stu, I love this book. Thank you for sharing it with us, and thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Brian, I really appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, Also, be sure to like having read that on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.